This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Fun episode of the TriDot Podcast today. Competing in three sports at the same time takes a good amount of equipment, and it always feels like there is some new toy, gadget, or piece of gear that we want to buy next. So today I have a few of our esteemed TriDot coaches here to guide us through the endless labyrinth of triathlon gear buying decisions. Joining us for this conversation is Coach John Mayfield. A successful Ironman athlete himself, John leads TriDot's Athlete Services, Ambassador, and Coaching Programs. He has coached hundreds of athletes ranging from first-timers to Kona qualifiers and professional triathletes. John has been using TriDot since 2010 and coaching with TriDot since 2012. John, how's it going today?
Going good. It's been a while since I've had the opportunity to be on a podcast, so looking forward to getting back at it.
Next up is pro triathlete and coach Elizabeth James. Elizabeth came to the sport from a soccer background and quickly rose through the triathlon ranks using TriDot, from a beginner to top age grouper to a professional triathlete. She's a Kona and Boston Marathon qualifier who has coached triathletes with TriDot since 2014. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us.
Well, my pleasure, Andrew. I just love being here, and I've already told my family to be listening closely to this episode for my Christmas list, so it's going to be a good one.
Smart. Very, very smart. Thinking ahead. Well, I'm Andrew, the average triathlete, voice of the people and captain of the middle of the pack. As always, we'll roll through our warm-up question, settle in for our main set topic, and then wind things down with the cool down. Lots of good stuff. Let's get to it.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
So here at TriDot, we have the official I Am TriDot Facebook group, and there are thousands of athletes in this group. It's a very, very active triathlon community that I know I personally love being a part of. And guys, there are just some funny athletes in this group. And throughout the year, every single week, there's just humorous posts that get a chuckle from me and our other athletes. And so as we're kind of, as this 2020 calendar year that we're recording this podcast is coming to a close, I know that you two as two of our TriDot coaches are very active in this group. And so let's just give a quick little shout out to what is maybe one of the funniest posts you feel like you've seen on the I Am TriDot Facebook page this calendar year. John, I'll start with you.
So mine is not so much a singular post, but more of a recurring theme that we'll see from different athletes. And there's always the lamentation of a particular set. So oftentimes it's big gear work. That's one of everyone's favorite workouts to loathe. And then talk about afterwards. It's great with like the baby giraffe gifts that oftentimes follow that set because, yeah, zone five on the bike, hopping off and doing a bunch of squats. And yeah, like nothing will make the legs feel like jelly than doing that big gear work. And there are others, sometimes it's the long threshold sets, sometimes it's 30-30s, whatever the case may be. Yeah, those are always fun when it seems to be kind of a love-hate kind of a thing with some of those sets. And yeah, I certainly identify, sometimes you see that coming up on your training plan, you're like, oh, this is going to hurt, but it's going to hurt so good. So yeah, those are always fun to see how everyone reacts to those some of those sets.
Yeah, but there was a post in the group about big gear work just this week, particularly when a new athlete comes on and joins the group and gets big gear work for the first time. It always elicits a fun response. So that's
like, what is this?
what is TriDot trying to do to me? Elizabeth, what about you? What's kind of one of the funnier posts you've seen this year?
Gosh, for this year in particular, I'm not going to remember the exact wording of it, but it was a meme to the effect of comparing 2020 to oatmeal raisin cookies and something about, how you bite into the cookie thinking it's chocolate chip and, something actually that you want that's good. And then it turns out that what you thought was the chocolate was actually the raisins. And that just seemed like a pretty accurate post and something that stuck with me, made me smile.
Elizabeth just offended all the chocolate or the raisin oatmeal cookie truthers out there. The few people that actually enjoy those cookies are like, wait, people don't like those?
And by that, you mean like I offended two people because it's just not the popular cookie choice.
You're going to hear about it. You're going to hear about it on the Facebook group.
I like the oatmeal raisin, but I will say oatmeal chocolate is better.
That's true. Yeah.
But do you like it if you're still expecting chocolate chip? I mean, that's a whole different thing.
Absolutely not.
No, I am outraged. Kind of like Big Ear Works. Like, what is this?
One recently that I laughed at really hard came from athlete Bill Talley. He wrote just a few weeks ago. He said, when doing squats, how loud are the crunchy sounds from your knees supposed to be? And I laughed so hard because I'm 32 at the time we record this. And I have that as a problem. It's kind of like, you know, you're doing a particular strength workout and like, you know, something's creaking and crunching and making a noise every single time. And you're like, should I keep going or should I stop? Like what's the threshold of there being something wrong where I should stop doing this workout, or am I just getting old? And so I know that some of our more seasoned veteran athletes probably deal with that more than I do. But I, at age 32, laughed pretty hard at that one.
Yeah, so especially when it's not even doing squats, more so when it's like getting out of bed in the morning and everything makes noise and hurts. And yeah,
climbing on and off the bike trainer causes that response. But yeah, hey, I want to encourage everybody listening today. If you're in the I Am Trot Out Facebook group, thanks so much for the fun posts, and thanks so much for just adding so much color and variety and flavor and life to our Facebook group. If you're an athlete who listens to the podcast, you're in the podcast family and you are not in that group, go find us. I Am Tridot on Facebook. You know, whether you use our training or not, it's just a really great community and a great place for you to learn more about the sport and just kind of get involved with some like-minded folks. We're going to post this question out to the group every single Monday. We do that. We take the warm-up question from the podcast and put it to all of you in Facebook land to just kind of get your responses. So today this question is going to be out there and we want to hear from you. What was a post on the group that you just remember from this year that made you LOL?
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
Our main set today is brought to you by our friends at Garmin in the fitness and multi-sport market. Garmin products are the gold standard, known for their compelling design, superior quality, and best value. As a triathlete, Garmin can be and should be your very best friend. They offer best-in-class GPS watches that can track your every swim, bike, and run with ease. When you are out on the bike, Garmin's Vector power pedals can measure those all-important watts, while their Edge cycling computers conveniently display all your data in real time as you ride. You can also bring Garmin into your pain cave with their Tax Indoor trainers and accessories. I tell everyone who will listen that my Tax Flux Indoor Smart Trainer is the best investment I have made in my own triathlon training. The best part is Garmin is fully integrated with Tridot, so your Garmin Connect and Garmin Health data seamlessly streams to Tridot and your training is continually optimized. So head to Garmin.com and check out all the cool tech they have to offer. From swim goggles and wetsuits to running shoes, smart watches, and every bike leg related item in between, triathlon certainly presents athletes who like to shop with plenty of opportunities to do so. But when we scan the possibilities for our next triathlon purchase or gear upgrade, how should we prioritize where to spend our money? How can we navigate getting new shiny things without blowing our budget? And in what order should we most benefit from equipment upgrades? All that and more today. So if you're a shopaholic, please do not hate me if today's episode triggers you to buy something that maybe you shouldn't. Okay. Be responsible out there, people. I mean, I'm kidding, but not kidding. Okay. So John, Elizabeth, as we head into this discussion, you know, I just want to remind our athletes that are newer to the sport. We do have episode 24. It was called Gearing Up for Your First Triathlon, Essential Race Day Equipment. And there we highlight what folks need to get started in the sport. You don't have to have a ridiculous amount of stuff from day one. So I would encourage everyone listening that is newer to triathlon to check out that episode. But for the purposes of this conversation, where we're kind of talking about You know, you've got all the gear, you're looking for your next upgrade, you're trying to figure out where to get faster, how to improve as an athlete. What would you say to the beginner triathlete as we head into this conversation?
Well, Andrew, I guess I'd just kind of echo what you said there, in that, you know, as we're talking through this episode and all the gear upgrades that are available, certainly we'll throw out some bigger ticket and higher dollar items, but not all upgrades have to break the budget. And in fact, I know just kind of in our brainstorm before we started recording, we mentioned a lot of smaller items that would make great stocking stuffers for the upcoming holiday. You know, some things that are going to be geared more toward the beginner as well. So I think as we're talking through the upgrades, there's going to be an upgrade available for everybody from today's episode, from the beginner all the way through the gadget guru.
Yep. That's a great note. That's great stuff. So folks, again, there's so much in the kind of gear purchasing world. There's so many things out there. And so the way we're going to start today, guys, we're going to start just by, for all three sports, swim, bike, and run, in that order, because that's how it goes, people. We're going to kind of identify what we're calling the tier one items. And what we kind of mean by a tier one item is, hey, if you are in the sport and you're looking to get serious about the sport, you're looking to continue developing in the sport of triathlon, you need these items. These aren't luxury items. They're not, you know, just kind of dream it and go get it when you can finally afford it. Like these are, if you're an aspiring serious age grouper, even these are the items that you need to start investing in. And then after we kind of talk about those and identify what those are, we're going to get into what we're calling our tier two items. And tier two items, those are your luxury items. If you can afford it, go out there and get it. If you need to save up for it, take your time saving up. You don't have to have them to be a serious triathlete, but they are nice and helpful and shiny and carbon often. So that's kind of how we're going to flow today. We're going to start with the swim. So John, Elizabeth, for someone who is out there, they're looking at the different swim stuff that's out there. What would you kind of identify as those tier one? You're wanting to get serious about the sport. Maybe you've done a few races. What are the swim upgrades that we're saying people should go out there and get if they're serious about the sport?
So one of the things that first comes to mind that's, I guess, maybe kind of along the lines of you need your essentials, but just a little bit beyond that, would be a good swim cap. So, you know, when I think of somebody new going to the pool, they need, you know, goggles, swim cap, suit. But a good swim cap is a fantastic, you know, little bit of an upgrade. One of the things that I've found that has been so helpful for me is that they make swim caps specifically for long hair, which is kind of why I wanted to recommend that. I know that there have been athletes that I've coached that, I mean, have just been using the race swim caps and are trying to get their ponytails into the swim cap and struggling with it. And they have to stop frequently in the middle of their set to just kind of readjust everything. So maybe more of a convenience item than anything, but I'd say get yourself a good silicone swim cap, worth a little bit of the investment there.
So I think I would be remiss here if Jeff Rains were on this podcast. We all know he would be making jab at my hair. So there's that for Jeff Rains. And I'll echo that. Like for years, when I had short hair, I didn't swim with a swim cap. And so my only experience ever with swim caps were just the
race day
kind of cheap latex. And if I ever was like maybe doing an assessment or something, I may throw that on just for a little extra hydrodynamics. But man, it wasn't until I tried a silicone cap years into swimming. I was like, man, yeah, they really are different. So, that's a great recommendation.
Well, I guess kind of moving on from there, one of the things that I would say in terms of swim upgrades that would be really important are some good swim tools. I know that we've mentioned the importance of swim drills and practicing proper technique in quite a few of our previous podcast episodes. So swim tools such as like fins, a buoy, a snorkel that can help you properly execute those swim drills, I would say would be a very important upgrade as well.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, especially when, you know, in your workouts, you're prescribed those drills, or even in your workouts, you know, I know I hit the moments where it says, in my swim today, I have a swim workout later this afternoon. And you know, that there's a couple hundreds where it says choice of drill. And you know, without having the tools in your arsenal, which they're not expensive, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of the beauty of this, the swim bag is, You can kind of fill out your swim bag with all the essentials, you know, the pull buoy, the snorkel, the fins, you know, without spending a whole lot. and then you can have it at the pool, and it just widens, you know, how, you know, which drills you have in your arsenal that you can do when you get under the pool. And we on our YouTube channel, you know, triathlon training on YouTube, we have all of the swim drills that folks are prescribed in their tryout training is up on YouTube, and you can see a swimmer doing them, and you can learn how to do them. And I know for me, I've you know, very much been able to vary what swim drills I do now based on those videos and based on now having, you know, different tools in the kit. So that's another good call. Anything beyond on, because those are all training items, right? Mm-hmm. That, okay, you're getting serious about the sport, get the swim tools, get a nice swim cap. You're going to be in the pool a lot. Are there anything kind of bigger items besides the swim training session items?
Yeah, I'd say a wetsuit would kind of go in that category for me. And while this might be a little bit more of an expensive item, you certainly can find some good deals, and many brands are going to have a number of tiers and options at various price points. But if you are going to be doing a race where the water temperature is cool enough to be wetsuit legal, then you're definitely going to want a wetsuit to wear, and that would be a good investment.
Yeah, so good swim cap, you know, get the tools for the pool bag. The wetsuit, Elizabeth, I mean, that's just, if you're getting serious about the sport, you're going to encounter races that are wetsuit legal. And oh my gosh, it makes a world of difference to have a good wetsuit. John, what about from you? Are there any items that you would add to kind of this tier one? You're getting serious about the sport, you need to consider these for your triathlon swim journey.
Yeah, you got to have the right goggles. One that fits you, fits your face, that are comfortable and don't leak. And then you also need the right goggle for the race situation that you're going to be in. So test out those open water goggles, and then even your clear versus tinted, you know, so that you can be ready for anything. So it depends on the conditions, low light, sunrise, that sort of thing. So, you know, it's not just about having one pair of goggles. It's not just necessarily the pool goggles that are going to work for all the training, but also having the right goggles for all those other situations that you may encounter on race day or when you're doing your open water swims. And then something else that's important to do and a big benefit early on is getting a stroke analysis. So this is just a great shortcut to making big gains. So when you can have someone look at your stroke and identify one or two or three things that are kind of holding you back or your biggest opportunities for improvement, that's going to go a long way. That can offset months of training when you have somebody come in and identify that. That's something that our resident swim guy, Jeff Raines, does a lot of those. Tryout coach Joanna Namey does a lot of those. And then all our tryout coaches are really qualified to do that. So that's a great opportunity just to reach out. It's relatively simple, generally takes just a little bit of filming, maybe a couple laps in the pool. You send it via email. It's very reasonable rate to do that, and really can provide some great insights for improvement, what to focus on, what to fix. And oftentimes you're going to cut a huge chunk of time just by fixing a couple little things that you may not even know that you're doing. That's what we see. Yeah. Oftentimes athletes don't realize they're doing these things that are really holding them back. But when you have somebody that can look at a stroke and see you're doing this, you're not doing that, and then provide some ways to fix it, work on it, that can be a huge benefit.
Yeah, when you're the one swimming, I mean, your head's in the water, you're looking down at the bottom of the pool. I mean, you can feel what you think your arms are doing, but you can't see what your arms are actually doing. So that's a great point, John. The thing I'll say about goggles, I almost view goggles like I view running shoes. I mean, you need to have a couple in your rotation, you know, that serve different purposes. And then once you find them, you know, you've got them and you're good to go. So all good points there. So those, I mean, that kind of rounds out the essentials. You know, when you're getting serious about triathlon, you know, get those items. You know, are there any kind of tier two luxury items that are, you don't have to have them to be a serious triathlete. You don't have to have them to have success in your training and racing, but they're just nice to have. They're good to splurge on. If someone's got the budget, Elizabeth, what are kind of those tier two luxury items for our swim training?
Well, for those, I guess, open water events that are not wetsuit legal, I would say a swim skin would kind of be one of these items that you could invest in, maybe more of a luxury. I know it was a number of years that I would do the non-wetsuit swims in just my tri-kit. But man, I mean, after upgrading and making the investment in a swim skin, you can 100% tell the difference. They're going to reduce your drag in the water, making you faster. I love my Roka swim skin. So that was the first thing that came to mind. As we're kind of talking about, you know, more of these luxury things, the other thing was form goggles. And that upgrade might be more kind of for your gadget guru, but the form swim goggles are a cool upgrade. They have a smart display that will show metrics, just kind of, you know, viewable as you're swimming. So you can see your split time, stroke count, distance per stroke, just kind of all of that in real time as you're swimming. One of the guys in my master swim group has these goggles, and he has found them to just be super helpful, particularly as he's near the end of the set and he can kind of see what metrics are, as he would say, starting to fall apart as he's getting a little bit more fatigued. So some really good real time feedback available on those. And then I guess the last one that I'll throw out there, and this might be like tier four, not necessarily tier two, but Master Swim Spa. That's always going to be on my list. dreaming. So, you know, no excuses not to go to the pool, get your swim session in. You can do it from your house, and we'll say that would be the luxury purchase there for your swim training.
This coming from the girl that loves her trainer and loves her treadmill. She just naturally needs the swim version.
Yeah. Of cool. So that kind of takes care of swim land. It's not the most gear heavy of the three sports, but the one that is the most gear heavy is obviously the bike. And so let's kind of get into that a little bit. If someone is a triathlete, they've been doing the sport for a little while, they're getting more serious about it. You know, what are the tier one? Yes. Go out and get these, kind of items. And I will say this because there's going to be quite a few of them. And so guys, don't think that to be a serious athlete in the sport of triathlon, you have to have all these items right away. It probably took me 4 or 5 years of being in the sport before I had most of the items we're about to talk about as tier one. Yes, please go get these items. Right. So I do want to throw out that disclaimer. Don't feel pressure to oversprint right away. It's kind of the beauty of the sport is you can kind of collect these things over time. But guys, what are kind of the tier one essentials? Yes, go out and get these for your bike training and racing.
All right. Well, trying to think of this in terms of like, you know, cost and moving our way up a little bit. First one, and Andrew, this one's for you. Your tier one upgrade, very budget friendly, is a razor. And I'm somewhat kidding, but also really, you know, with all the money that triathletes are willing to spend and, you know, looking to just save minutes on their bike split, probably one of the easiest things that some of the guys could do out there is shaving their legs. And I know that Jesse Frank, you know, our wind tunnel engineer from Specialized, when he was on and we did an episode with him, he talked about that. So, you know, gear upgrades for the bike tier one, let's start with just your, you know, couple dollars for a razor. In terms of, gosh, an inexpensive upgrade to save you some minutes, that's certainly cost effective as well. I know that probably quite a few of our listeners are already doing this, but definitely want to throw this out there as well. If you don't yet have clipless pedals and cycling shoes, that is a great upgrade and a very worthwhile investment to make. You know, just being attached to the bike makes a cyclist so much more efficient. You know, it allows you to recruit and utilize more muscles for the full circle of the pedal stroke. So, you know, if you're an athlete out there getting into the sport, you've got, you know, some of those essentials. Maybe your next upgrade is some clipless pedals and cycling shoes just to make you more efficient on the bike. And then I guess kind of along those lines, another thing that I would really highly recommend is a bike fit. And that may end up including some specific parts of the bike itself to be upgraded depending on the athlete's current ride. So maybe, you know, some clip-on aero bars if you're riding a road bike. But really just looking at bike fit and what is going to make you comfortable and more aerodynamic on the bike. And there would be a very worthwhile upgrade there. And then, gosh, I mean, we could probably list forever all of the little parts and upgrades, you know, like good tires. The high quality tires are going to roll faster. They're going to be constructed from lighter rubber compounds. You know, if you're looking for a cost perspective and how much your dollar can save in terms of making your bike lighter, maybe upgrade your saddle. So I guess I'll throw those kind of out there too. But certainly not an exhaustive list of those little upgrades for the bike.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned the saddle, because comfort on the bike can add speed on race day, right? I mean, an aero position is only as good as long as you can hold it. And if you're getting uncomfortable in your saddle and you start fidgeting a lot toward the end of a ride, you know, if you're because your bike fit is off, maybe, you know, your feet are falling asleep, or the touch points, the handlebar grip tape isn't to your liking. I mean, all those touch points on the bike can add to your comfort. And being more comfortable, you're going to be able to hold an aero position longer, and that just adds free speed. So it's a really good point. I finally found a saddle I like after trying like 14 different ones. It's not an over exaggeration. I wish it was, but it's made a huge difference. So John, what items would you add to kind of this tier one list of bike training and racing upgrades?
So first is the bike. If you are going to be racing triathlon on a regular basis, kind of for me, my rule is you got to go with the TT triathlon bike. Road bikes are great for what they're designed for, and that's riding either solo or in a group. Adding aero bars onto the road bike is not necessarily the same as a true time trial or triathlon bike. The geometry is different. So for me, that's kind of the first step. Is if you're going to be racing triathlon, or I would say too, if you're going to be racing long course triathlon, you're really setting yourself up for a big disadvantage of taking those on a road bike. It's just not the same. Your aerodynamics, your muscle recruitment, your comfort, all that's going to be different. You're going to be faster, and you're going to run better off the bike on a time trial bike. And you just simply cannot duplicate the geometry, the fit, all of that on a road bike. So I'm kind of going high budget first, but good news is I've got some lower cost things to follow up.
Well, that's a core item, right? I mean, you buy a bike and you're typically going to have it for years, and so it's an important decision to make. And John, to your point, when I was at the point we're talking about, right, at the point where I had done a bunch of tries, I knew I liked the sport. I wanted to get more serious as an athlete. I had a entry level specialized LA aluminum road bike. I was looking for that next bike purchase to make me a serious triathlete. And I bought another road bike. I bought a carbon road bike and put aero bars on it. And within two races, you know, a couple months on that, I was already wishing I had a tri bike. And now I do have a tri bike. And I could have saved myself a little bit of trips in and out of a bike store, putting down the credit card. If I had just kind of accepted, hey, I want to be a triathlete, it's just worth having the tri bike. It really, really is. So I think it's a great point. What are some of the little items that you're talking about that aren't as big and expensive as a road bike?
So almost as cheap as the Razor are the latex tubes. So this is something that takes a little bit more effort to find. Oftentimes, the tubes that are just mass stocked at your bike shop are butyl tubes. So it may take a little bit more digging. I've gotten mine both at a bike shop. They have them on Amazon. And these latex tubes, it's been explained to me. I've done the reading. I still don't get it. But something about these latex tubes reduce the rolling resistance and make you more efficient on the bike. You will roll faster with something that doesn't come in contact with the road, which again, that just doesn't make sense to me. I will trust the experts on this one and trust that these latex tubes are more efficient, have a lower rolling resistance than those butyl tubes. And I've been riding them. I've not had any difference in like punctures or flats. So they're a little bit more expensive than the butyl tubes, but not much. So for something, I think cost per dollar one of those like speed per dollar, time per dollar, this is a great investment. It's just something you swap out instead of replacing your tube with a butyl tube next time. Grab one of these latex tubes and go from there. Another great time saver for the cost is an aero helmet. This is one of those things that's very well documented, both with wind tunnel testing and actual race day is that aero helmet. They've gotten better over the years. Back in the day, even when I first started racing, they were notorious for being hot because they weren't well ventilated. So it was always a decision as well, am I going to be fast or am I going to be cool, kind of a thing. But I'll say over the years that the aero helmets have gotten much better ventilated. For me, my last two or three aero helmets, I've not really been able to tell a difference temperature-wise between the aero helmet and my regular extremely vented road helmet. So for not a ton of money, you know, you can save a good chunk of time, especially when you're talking 70.3 and Ironman distance races just by wearing that aero helmet. Another recommendation for me is good eyewear. This is one of those things that, again, I'll kind of not go cheap on. One of my favorite pieces of gear is I have some Rudy Project glasses that are photochromatic, so they adjust with the light. So it's great for starting out on those early morning rides where the sun is just coming up. So you don't have to necessarily make that choice between am I going to wear sunglasses or not. So you still have the eye protection and it's good for that. But something that's going to get you there. And a lot of times I'll see folks wearing their regular, either their running sunglasses or just their casual glasses out on a ride. And they're simply better options. So that's one of those things that, not necessarily going to make you faster, but it's going to be more of a comfort thing. And then as we get into more so the bike itself, one of the things that I'm a big believer in is going with the ceramic options. So this is, again, it's kind of one of those things. It's a little bit more expensive, but it's going to pay off in the long term. So the this is primarily the bottom bracket, the pulleys, and the wheel bearings as well. So you're going to have an option between steel and ceramic in most cases. And again, you're going to spend more for the ceramic, but out the door, they're going to be faster. The lower they have, less friction, lower rolling resistance. They're going to be faster from the get go. But the ceramic material is also going to hold up and last longer than the steel, so it's going to be faster for longer. So it starts off faster, and then it maintains integrity longer than the steel options, simply because it's going to wear at a slower rate. So it's going to last longer and be faster throughout. So these are not necessarily requirements, but at some point, these things do need to be replaced periodically. So when that time comes for you, I would say opt for the ceramic option in these. And just kind of along that note, if you have never looked at your bottom bracket and never replaced your bottom bracket or your wheel bearings, chances are it's time. Chances are you're probably past due, and really you're losing speed because those bearings are worn out. So again, if you've got a couple years on your bottom bracket, a couple years of your wheels, those bearings do need to be replaced, and you will see a significant improvement once you get those and kind of get back to once you feel a fresh set of ceramic bearings, you're gonna know what I'm talking about. And then from there, I think a huge thing is regular maintenance. There's a great saying, it's a true saying, a clean bike is a fast bike, and not necessarily just before race day. So it's important to take care of the bike, maintain it, as you said. So primary is good lubrication. This should be something that's done on a regular basis. So not necessarily every ride, but every few rides need to be checking the drivetrain, making sure the chain is clean and properly lubricated. So not too much oil, not too light on oil. That's kind of a fine line. Go to your bike shop. They'll show you how to do that if you don't know how. But that can make a huge difference. If your bike is making noise, you're losing watts, you're wasting watts, you're losing speed. So the bike should have just a nice, quiet sound as you're rolling down the road. If you're hearing anything, then that's some sort of inefficiency or something that needs to be addressed. And then another thing is a fresh chain. So as you mentioned, you and I are racing in about a week and a half. I just ordered a new chain. It's going to be delivered here, and I'm looking forward to having a fresh chain on race day. I think it cost me about $50. I looked, and it's been about 9 months since I last swapped out my chain. You can go in and you can have your chains checked for stretch. And obviously if they're stretched, they have to be replaced. But kind of, again, for me, I know it's been 9 months. I've ridden quite a bit over these past 9 months, and I want a fresh chain for race day. And I know it's also going to last me for the next 6 to 12 months. So I'm going to go ahead and just spend the $50 now and have a brand new chain for the last couple rides, and know on race day that my chain is going to be as good as it can get.
It's like we spend thousands of dollars potentially on the bike and the race entry fees and everything that goes along with it. You know, why wouldn't you just take 50 extra to make sure your chain is top notch and fresh and ready to ride? That's a great point, John. I literally just replaced the chain on my TT bike about a month or two ago. And it's the first time I've done so in the 4 years I've had that bike. So I really pushed that first chain a little too much. And so people, be good to your bike. Your bike is nothing but good to you. So take care of it. Don't be like me. I'm learning people. But so
even circling back to what I said about the bike, my bike is, I believe it's a 2012 model. So, it's definitely not new. I recently had it in the shop and I did this. I had a new crank set. I got the shorter cranks. I did the ceramic bottom bracket. I did the ceramic pulleys. My wheel bearings were still good, so I didn't replace those. It kind of puts all those things together in that you can spend that higher dollar amount on the bike. But again, it's been 8 years since I've bought the bike I put a couple $100 back into it. So now I'm good for another couple of years. So that initial investment, was high. But, you know, every few years you put the money back into it, you take good care of it, you upgrade or replace the things as they do. The frame itself, if you take good care of it, the frame is going to last. So it's more so those rotational components that are going to wear out. It's just an opportunity to kind of spend the money up front on the bike. And then every few years, as you're coming along, as things need to be replaced, you have these opportunities to even upgrade some of those things like bottom brackets and pulleys and that sort of thing.
So what will we kind of identify as those tier two luxury? You don't have to have them, but if you've got the money, you've got the budget, you're looking to do all the fun upgrades. What are the tier two cycling upgrades?
Well, on this one for me, I'd almost say it's like your dream TT bike. John gave a great outline of, you know, why the TT bike is, you know, maybe considered more of a tier one item. But certainly there's still a large variance in price range there between what you can get for a TT bike. And, you know, maybe your first TT bike is a little bit more budget friendly. And then as funds allow, certainly whatever you have the budget for, there's a bike for. And you can make that a luxury purchase. I guess outside of the bike itself, I'd say another thing that is a great upgrade is a smart trainer. And this has been one of the best upgrades that I've made for my bike training. And I would say that this is 100% the way to go.
Yeah, no, I have the Tax Flux and it has made all the difference for me in my bike training as well. So I definitely advocate for that. You don't have to have it. You can do your tri training outside or on a dumb trainer as we affectionately call them. You can be a plenty effective triathlete in training on a dumb trainer. But if you do have the funds, that is a nice luxury item. John, do you have any you would add to that?
Man, I always feel bad for the fluid trainers and the magnetic trainers because they were just trainers until the smart trainers came along. And all of a sudden now they're the opposite. Like just because we have smart trainers, that doesn't mean the other trainers are dumb. Like
besmirch the name of the dumb trainer.
Yeah. I rode a fluid trainer for years and years and I was even resistant to the smart trainer. And I'll even say that, I do really enjoy my smart trainer. I'm not giving it back, but there's certainly nothing wrong with a good fluid trainer. Now, I did have a magnetic trainer back in the day. That thing was pretty dumb. But get a good fluid trainer, especially if you pair that with a power meter, and you're doing good. But the smart trainers are great. So kind of speaking of, I hate to even call it a luxury item, and I would probably even include it here just because I didn't mention it up more so with the necessities, is a power meter. I would say 7 to 10 years ago, it was more of a luxury item simply because the price was so high. You were looking at about $1,500 for most power meters kind of back in the day. But fortunately, more and more companies have introduced them. And along with that, the price point has come down substantially. So it really is for me, kind of almost a non-negotiable. Again, it's kind of like with the TT bike. If you're going to be a triathlete, this is something that you really do need to invest in. It doesn't necessarily have to be on day one or even year one, but do what you need to do to get a power meter as soon as feasible for you. So this is going to revolutionize your bike training and racing. It's not going to make you any faster the day you bolt it onto your bike, but it's going to make you faster, which is really great. So really it's going to increase the efficiency of both your training and your racing. It's going to make just a huge difference in it. So I hate to even put this in tier two. I really feel like it probably belongs in tier one. The only thing putting it in tier two is the price is, but fortunately yeah. that's come down significantly. So, you know, you're looking at more $400 to $500 now for a power meter, as opposed to triple that, just a few years ago. And then the other thing that's kind of on the opposite end that will make you faster, as soon as you bolt it onto your bike, but isn't going to make you any fitter, is the wheel set. There's a fixed amount of improvement that you're going to get over a period of time. We do know that the upgraded wheels are more aerodynamic. Typically they're lighter. They are more efficient. You can kind of pick whatever's right for you. You can go with the super high end, wheel set, or they have a lot more economical that are still going to be, a lot faster, more aero, lighter. So some great options there on the wheel set. But yeah, you're going to get a fixed amount of improvement when you put it on or take it off. It's not going to make you a fitter athlete. So kind of a one on each side there. One's going to make you faster and the other's going to make your bike faster.
So moving on to the run, we've done our swim, we've done our bike, and we are on the final leg of the triathlon. Just talking through, you know, what are the run items that at the point you're getting more and more serious about being a triathlete and getting into the sport, talking through the items you need as a runner for your training. Elizabeth, what are the tier one run items?
All right. So I'm going to throw out three things here for the run. First one I'll say are elastic shoelaces. I mean, you're still on the clock while in transition. So, you know, save yourself the time of tying your shoes. This is an inexpensive upgrade that can save you some time, in T2. So worthwhile there. I'd also say a hydration system for particularly your long runs. So, you know, this is kind of more from the training perspective, but having a good hydration system is important. I mean, especially for me on those warmer training months, I have my handheld bottle. I have a great hydration running pack that I use, and those get used on almost a weekly basis. So those are some staples in my training, and definitely worth the investment there as well. And then the third one I'll say are good socks. You know, keep your feet happy with all those training miles. And this can be a really fun one too, with all the options that are available. So you've got different heights, lots of color choices, different cushioning, lots to choose from, but also something great to, you know, just have good socks for your training too.
I love a good loud pair of running socks for sure. Yeah. You can't beat them. John, what about you? Would you have any additional items to add to kind of the tier one, you know, yes, get these, have them in the rotation as a runner?
Yeah, you got to have the right shoes. This was one of our first podcasts that we covered was having the right
episode
shoe.
I know
that's one of our more popular ones. Give it a listen. And yeah, there's just a ton of great advice from Jeff and Elizabeth on that one. Have the right shoe for you. Unfortunately for us, like, we can't go off of like looks or anything like that. Oftentimes, I feel like inevitably the shoe that's right for me is like the ugliest one on the shelf. It's like the least one I would be likely to buy if I were choosing based on aesthetics. But yeah, you got to just kind of throw that out the door and go with what's going to allow you to train the most efficiently. And a lot of that has to do with injury prevention, because running is so, it's so high impact and does lead to injury if not done properly. So find that shoe that's going to allow you to run safely and injury free. And that's a big one. That's kind of one of those. Really invest in the right pair of shoes for you. And then something else that's really great, and something that took me a long time to kind of acquire, is a good wardrobe of good run apparel.
Yes.
I live on the Texas Gulf Coast. It is really hot. the vast majority of the year. So for me, I never really prioritized good cold weather gear. But, you know, there are the occasional days here where I do need to bundle up. And it was really nice to have something that was more so run specific. My cold weather runs were better because I had some good apparel. And that's true for cycling as well. Another thing that I tend to hide in my garage and stay on my trainer when it's cold out. But, you know, having some good cold weather apparel allows me to get out and do some of those. But yeah, just good run apparel. It's not necessarily the same, you know, pair of basketball shorts or even for a long time, I just ran like in the race shirts that were, you know, kind of like tech fabric, but really investing in some good running clothes helped. And then same thing too, I mentioned before on the cycling, some good glasses. For me, a lot of times I'm running either in the morning, afternoon, evening, when the sun is either high or low. And I think that's just a great thing to have both for training and racing.
So beyond the essential apparel, you know, beyond shoes that fit you well, you know, the elastic laces we talked about, you know, staying hydrated with a good handheld bottle or hydration pack. What are some of the luxury run items that people can start splurging on after they kind of have the essentials?
So I'd say one, maybe a little splurge would be a stride power meter. So just like power based, you know, training for biking, the stride power meter can do that for running. And I found this to be really cool with athletes that I've coached that are living in hilly areas that may have difficulty adjusting kind of our pace targets for the uphill or the downhill segments of their running routes. So, yeah, I mean, training with power on the bike is a almost commonplace thing now. And, this can be kind of a little splurge to be able to do that for the run training as well. And then, I mean, gosh, we can't go an episode talking about gear and particularly run gear without me giving a shout out to those amazing Nike racing shoes. So I'm still obsessed. I'm sure you saw that one coming. But yes, you know, get yourself a pair of great shoes to race in, you know, something like with a carbon plate where you're going to get that boost in performance from them too.
And we all have them now. John and yes. I both have the Next Percent. Elizabeth, you just got the newest, what is it? That the alpha bounce fly, alpha fly,
alpha bounce. Next.
There's so many
it
words.
It does feel like you're bouncing.
but yeah, so those do make a difference. I mean, you put them on your feet and you start running and you can just feel the propulsion of that plate. Mm-hmm. It just, I mean, I've talked about them before. I love the Skechers Razor 3 for training. But when I put on the Nike Next Percents with that carbon plate for a tune-up run or a race day run, you just do feel the propulsion. So you don't have to have it to be successful. I will definitely get passed on course by people without carbon plated race shoes. But if you can afford it, if you can spring for it, it definitely is a luxury item worth having.
So I will say there are a lot fewer folks on course without that. We were just at Ironman Florida a couple of weeks ago, and it went from a couple of years ago, Nike was non-existent in the triathlon market, to where a couple of years ago, it started kind of more so like towards the faster end. A lot of those guys were wearing the Nikes, and it seems to have just filtered down through everyone. I mean, it's, gosh, I mean, y'all were there. Uh-huh. It seemed like a third to half the people had on some sort of Nike shoe. Whereas, you know, used to back in the day, I remember like the Kona shoe count, there'd be like a dozen of the Kona athletes be wearing Nikes. And then there'd be hundreds in Brooks and Asics and all those. So they've Nike's really made a surge, but yeah, I guess, we're all part of that trend
and
as well.
Hoka, you know, Hoka has their Rocket, the Rocket X, you know, mm-hmm. with carbon, that a lot of people like that. New Balance just put out the Fuel Cell mm-hmm. RC, which is their marathon carbon plated racer. And so more and more companies are starting to Saucony has the
Endorphin has one.
Speed, yep. Endorphin Shift, the Asics Meta Racer. So there's certainly options to get into a carbon plated racer without it even being a Nike. So mm-hmm. You know, definitely go look at those, try them on and see if you like a pair, because that's the ultimate splurge item for running.
Well, speaking of multiple shoes, I'd say that's kind of my tier two, is having multiple training shoes. And I think the way to go about doing this is not to buy three or four or five pairs of shoes all at once. That would be real expensive. But what I would say is don't go through, a pair of shoes from start to finish. Maybe get in and go, whether your shoes last, most training shoes somewhere in that 3 to 6 month range, kind of depending on how many miles you're doing. But instead of wearing out a shoe completely where it's totally done and goes for me, they become yard shoes. About halfway through, go ahead and invest in that next pair. So now you have two options. Don't necessarily buy the same pair of shoes, but maybe buy something that's a little different. If you have a real conservative trainer, maybe it's buying something that's maybe a little more aggressive, something that you use for your assessments or doing your track sets as opposed to your long runs out on the road. Maybe it's adding like a trail shoe or something like that. So you not necessarily have to buy them all at once, but maybe it's every other month, every 2 to 3 months, buying a new pair of shoes and kind of like we've talked about, all of a sudden, within a while, you've got a nice collection of different types of shoes.
Rotation.
And you have a shoe for every scenario that you're in. So you can invest in that race shoe, but then you still have good training shoes, a trail shoe, a track shoe, without having to buy them all at once.
So now that we've kind of really, for all three sports, identified, hey, here's the things you should get. Here are things that are luxury items that are nice to get. What are maybe a few of the items that have made the biggest difference for you personally in your day-to-day training, just kind of from this list we've talked about?
I would say of what we've talked about, one of the things that has made the biggest difference for me in my training is my smart trainer. Love my Wahoo Kicker. It has just been great to be able to better execute the bike sessions that are prescribed. So it's making sure that my training is, as efficient as possible. That's been a big thing for me. I guess another thing that just came to mind, and we haven't necessarily talked about this, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway, is TriSlide. And not even necessarily for the swim perspective or, the how much it can save my neck with the wetsuit swims, but just for anti-chafing and summer running, that has made a big difference for me in my training. And it's something I recommend to a lot of the athletes I coach too.
Yeah, it's a great point. Whether it's TriSlide or Body Glide or Chamois Butter or whatever your go-to is, know that it can, help you out a lot more than the one intended yes. application. John, what about for you? What's kind of your most important, crucial? These have really just made a difference for you day to day.
So as I saw this question, I was trying to kind of be objective and say, what is the thing that has made the biggest difference in my training? And I almost tried to come up with another answer, just not to be too hokey, but really it has been my TriDot training. I've been using TriDot for my training since 2010. It's been a decade. Throughout this decade, I've continued to get stronger despite being a decade older. And I've remained injury free for by far and away the majority of the time. I've never had a major injury. I've never missed a race or had any significant downtime because of injury. That doesn't say I've never had pains or never had to skip a session because of a certain issue here or there, but never had a major injury, never missed a race or anything like that because I was injured. And like I said, I'm now 41 years old. I started with TriDot when I was 30, and I'm stronger, faster now in all three sports than I was 10 years ago. And I attribute that back to the training. And a big part of that have been my coaches throughout the time. So I've worked with three different coaches in that time, but going back to the original Coach Boo back in the start, and just having a person to communicate with and provide the feedback, the accountability, all those things that the coach does has just been completely invaluable in that. I really cherish and value both the training and those fantastic coaches I've had the opportunity to work with.
So guys, just to kind of land the plane today, there's so many items we talked about for the swim, bike, and run. And I know for me, when I have a friend coming into the sport, when I have athletes getting more serious about the sport, a question I see a lot is kind of, from all these items, what's kind of the order of importance, so to speak? So if you're coaching an athlete, and they've got the basics and they're ready to just start investing in better gear, next level gear, some of the things we've talked about, give me kind of your top 10 list in order of how you would have one of your athletes invest their tri funds. And Elizabeth, I'll start with you.
All right. I guess thinking of this and making a top 10 list, one of the things that I tried to keep in mind is what is going to help them progress most in their training to perform well on race day. So I'd say my first thing would be proper run shoes. You know, as much as I love my Converse, they are not for tri training, not for run training. So we want a good proper pair of run shoes, mostly from an injury prevention standpoint, like we were talking earlier. Then number two would be a watch. So let's get something to start tracking some of these training metrics. Bonus if it has the capability to monitor heart rate as well. So we can use that. Then number three, I'd say, would be some at-home strength training equipment. So, you know, some resistance bands, maybe a set of two with dumbbells. Again, you know, this is going to help prevent injuries. It's going to complement all disciplines, kind of take some of the excuses out of not being able to do strength training, working and with scheduling back and forth to the gym. So some things that you can do there at home. And then as I was thinking about this, I almost feel like four and five kind of go together. I'll still separate them out. But I'd say, you know, a smart trainer and a power meter. So ways that you can measure wattage and really kind of increase the effectiveness of your bike training by being better able to adhere to those prescribed sessions. Then number six, let's go with bike fit. So, you know, whatever kind of comes with that proper fit, might be a couple little things in there too, but let's increase comfort. Let's increase aerodynamics. Both of those are going to equal speed on the bike. And then a good aero helmet. We talked about, you know, that's kind of a low cost, definite time savings there. Good investment. So good aero helmet. Then eight, a quality wetsuit or swim skin. Nine, an upgraded bike. And then 10, looking for race wheels. So that would be my top 10. Man, it was hard to narrow that down to 10. But I think there's a quality list right there.
Yeah. So folks, if you're at home and you're hearing those 10, maybe you have some of the list, maybe you don't have all of the list, but that's kind of the way Coach Elizabeth thinks in terms of prioritizing those items. John, how about you? Do you have any different takes, or do you feel like that top 10 kind of spells it out? What's kind of your 10 if you're coaching an athlete on how to spend and prioritize their money?
Very similar, which yeah, there's a lot of overlap, maybe a little bit different order. I started at number one with the watch. Is we got to have those metrics to do the right training right. Two, I have the swim gear simply because it's cheap and it's effective. You can get a great swim bag and all the toys for probably less than $100. Three is bike fit. It's just that important. It's not that expensive. It pays huge dividends as we've talked about before. Then kind of for those same reasons, just time per dollar, the aero helmet, relatively cheap. It's going to last you for years and years and years. It will make you faster. Number five is the power meter. I talked about how much that's important for me. The only thing that doesn't keep this from being, you know, number one or number two is simply the cost, because it is a little more cost prohibitive, but very, very important. Next, I move on to those ceramic components, discuss those as well. Seven, the race shoes. It's a great investment. It is going to pay off. It's going to make you faster. Eight is something we haven't discussed, but it's something that I'm a huge fan of. Not necessarily going to make you faster, but you will enjoy cycling more with the electronic shifting. It's great, especially on a hilly course where you need the ability to shift as you're especially climbing the hills. So just having the ability to shift from the base bar is huge. And just the electronic shifting is super cool. And then from there, number nine is a good set of race wheels, as we discussed. And then my number 10 is the smart trainer. So it's a great training component, but I think there are a couple other things that are a little bit more important.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
As we are publishing this episode, just a few weeks from Christmas, we're all in holiday season mode. We've talked about a lot of gear. We've talked a lot about a lot of triathlon purchases you can make. I'm sure a lot of the things we've discussed are on some of your Christmas shopping lists, wish lists, Santa Claus lists. I know some of them certainly are for me. So just to kind of cool us down today, I have John and Elizabeth here, and we are going to give our top three stocking stuffer recommendations. I don't know about you guys. I frequently have, my wife's friends or family members that are shopping for an athlete, a triathlete, a runner, ask me, oh, what's some good stocking stuffers? And so just some nice things that we all like to receive that you can't get enough of that you can toss in a stocking. So just real quick, John, I'll start with you. What are three things you would recommend people buy to stuff in the stockings? I almost said stock in the stuffings, to stuff in the stockings of their triathlete friends and family.
So I think you said it right. It's the things you can't get enough of. So for me, that's socks. Specifically for me, it's Swiftwick socks. It's all I wear. I'm a huge fan. So stock up on the Swiftwicks, and then also caps. I love caps, whether trucker caps or race caps, whatever it is. And I know those two answers are going to be on Elizabeth's list, so I stole those from her. And then something that's probably not on Elizabeth's list, but something that I have given to Elizabeth on several occasions, are those tools. So yeah, every time I go in my garage and realize I've got a duplicate of something or I come across something I need, I like to give those part tools. So those are great stocking stuffers.
Yeah, no, great choices. Elizabeth, for you, what are some stocking stuffer recommendations? And you can't say socks or caps because John
took right. It. Yeah, exactly. Stole my answers there. Okay, well, since I can't be socks or caps, how about swim caps? I mean, different category.
Silicone swim caps.
Exactly. Yes. So we'll go with that. This one is probably very partner specific, but silicone ring. I mean, I don't wear my engagement ring, wedding band, hardly at all anymore, just because I'm so afraid of losing it in the pool or the bottom of the lake. It hurts when I strength train. So I've gone to mostly wearing silicone rings and love them. And then, man, I'm just kind of at a loss since I can't say socks or caps. So you're still going to kind of trend that way and maybe say headbands instead.
A variation. Yep. Yes. Slight variation. Uh-huh. Yep. Still getting that headwear. The three I'll add, I frequently recommend the Gooder sunglasses. They're like $35, depending on which model you get. They're really light on your head. They're really nice to wear casually. I frequently lose sunglasses. I break sunglasses. I drop sunglasses. And so having nice $30 pair of sunglasses in the rotation that are fun. They have a lot of different colors and patterns and shapes. And so I really like the Gooder sunglasses. They're great stocking stuffers. I love Caterpie shoelaces. Earlier in the episode, we mentioned getting elastic laces on your shoes. I personally like doing that with Caterpie. I know Lock Laces is another great brand. But the Caterpies have been the ones that I've trended towards the most and have on all of my running shoes. And the last thing I'll say that's great in a stocking for an athlete is new bars, gels, or energy chews. You know, we all like trying new things, new flavors. And for a lot of us, you know, we kind of have our go-tos. And so go to a place like thefeed.com or go down to your local sporting goods store and find just some different gel flavors, bar flavors. You know, you can get the little individual size ones. Guys, thanks for the suggestions. We can't wait to hear after Christmas what everybody got in their stockings. And if you got some Gooder sunglasses, let me know. Well, that's it for today, folks. A big thanks to coaches John Mayfield and Elizabeth James for helping us sort through all the key triathlon gear we can and should upgrade over time. Shout out to Garmin for partnering with us on today's episode. Head to Garmin.com to see what Tri-Tech they have to offer. Enjoying the show? Have any questions or topics you want to hear us talk about? Head to tri.com/podcast to let us know what you're thinking. We'll do it all again soon. Until then, happy training.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the Tri-Dot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great Tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize your training? Head to tridot.com and start your free trial today. Tri-Dot, the obvious and automatic choice for triathlon training.